Every day, billions of people depend on a cup of joe to kickstart their morning, or to work themselves through that afternoon slump or tedious night shift. The natural stimulant caffeine found in coffee, tea, and a variety of energy drinks is probably the most common used nootropic around the world. Caffeine acts as a mild stimulant to the central nervous system and alleviates fatigue, improves focus and concentration. However, depending on one's tolerance and consumption patterns, there are some well-known side effects such as increased restlessness, insomnia, headaches, and anxiety. Welcome to 20 Minute Fitness, your favorite podcast for health and fitness science and technology. Our show is brought to you by ShapeScale, the 3D body scanner that keeps your health in check. I'm Martin Kessler, and today's 20 Minute Fitness is all about caffeine and some alternative natural stimulants that can boost our cognitive performance. With me today is Shane Heath, the founder of Mud Water, which is a coffee alternative made of masala chai, mushrooms, and a few other organic ingredients. Hey Shane, welcome to 20 Minute Fitness.
Hey, thanks man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so I want to kick off our show today with you telling us more about your background and why you felt the need to kick your own coffee addiction.
Yeah, so my background is in design and branding. I went to school for both art and design, and upon graduating, got right into the entrepreneurship world, joined two friends, and started a tech company. It was social networking, but for action sports. Obviously not the most lucrative business.
Yeah, sounds very niche.
Yeah, we learned that quickly. But in that learning process, I learned a lot, obviously. Learned a lot about myself, but learned a lot about business, a lot about design, learned how to code, a lot of skills that would come into play later in my life. And that took me into working in Silicon Valley, working for various tech companies in the Bay Area, and living a pretty active life outside of the office as well, pursuing a fine art career and training jujitsu and CrossFit. And this led to a pretty healthy coffee addiction. Where coffee was sort of prescribed to me as something was going to allow me to do more and do it faster. And based on my life at the time, that sounded great. And so I started drinking a ton of it.
Define, like, what is a ton of it? I mean, like 90% of the American population drinks coffee, but how do you define actually?
So for me, I was probably drinking at least 3 cups of coffee a day. But then oftentimes after work, I would go to train jujitsu and I would have, you know, I was basically just fighting these waves of energy and depression and energy and crashing. And then after work, I would need another pick me up. And so I'd drink like some sort of energy drink pre-workout and go and train jujitsu. So it was hundreds of milligrams of caffeine every day.
Gee. And how did that affect you?
So I've experienced anxiety and depression most of my adult life. And then also combining that with being a fine artist, like I was maybe hyper aware of the mental state that it was putting me in. But it wasn't until like a year or so later that I was just like, my moods are all over the place. I'm jittery. I'm anxious. Like I can't really paint. My hands are shaking, kind of a feeling. I wasn't sleeping well. And I just felt like it was harder and harder to manage the stress. And, you know, when you're pursuing a career in Silicon Valley or in the tech space in general, like you are inviting in stress into your life, and stress isn't bad. Like stress is what's going to allow you to level up. And specifically with like physical fitness, it's what allows your body to grow, your muscles to grow. But I think the mismanagement of stress is really where things go bad. And that's where I was at maybe a year into that kind of cycle. So anxious, stressed out, not sleeping well, and knowing that I needed to change.
And I'm guessing long work hours as well.
Totally, totally. And I mean, it's a vicious cycle, right? Like you don't sleep well, and then you wake up and you're like, I have no energy, but I have tons to do. And then you're like, well, I need something. And at the time I was kind of blind to it. Like it was just what everybody was doing. You know, the coffee was right there in the office, at my house, at friends' houses, on every corner. And so I never thought twice about it because it just seemed so normal.
So did you have like an aha moment at some point where you're like, okay, I have to stop with this. Like I need a change.
Yeah, I think I probably had that a couple times. I think what I found that it was tough to quit because of those reasons. Like it was so ingrained in culture and my day-to-day and my friends and the workplace that I knew it wasn't good for me, like me specifically, but I would give it up, but then I'd feel great. I'd feel awesome again. And then I'd be like, all right, I can have some coffee. And then it would just start that cycle. So I went through a couple of those. And then luckily and kind of serendipitously, I was invited to do an artist in residence in Goa, India. So at the time, I'd never been outside the country. And I'd been working for 4 years now in tech, like living that hustle life. And it just sounded like the perfect opportunity to step back and rethink where I wanted to take my career, both in art, but also in tech, and get a new perspective on life. And so I took up that opportunity, took a leave of absence from work, and landed in Goa, India.
And what happened there?
And when I was there, obviously in Goa, in India in general, chai is kind of how coffee is here, right? There's like this cultural element to the experience where in the States, they call like a cafe, it's like the third location in your life where you have your home, you have your office, and then you have like the meeting place. And in India, it's the same, but for chai. And chai has less caffeine than coffee, depending on the blend, the brew. It could be like around 1/7 the caffeine of coffee. And making that switch when I arrived there was just amazing in and of itself. But in general, that trip to India empowered me to just take a look at other elements of my life outside of what I was drinking in the morning. And just kind of flipped things on its head, shook up the snow globe a little bit, allowed me to create some new pathways and get rid of old ways of thinking, being, doing, and invite in some new ways. And when I arrived back in LA, I had a newfound ritual with chai. I found a provider based in Seattle who makes this powdered chai with no sugar, no sweeteners, and all organic with 1/7 the caffeine of coffee. And I felt amazing drinking it. And knowing what chai is, where it's an amalgam of spices and tea, right? So chai actually means tea. And that's typically referring to black tea when you're talking about a masala chai. And the masala blend will be generally some combination of cloves, cardamom, cinnamon, ginger. And so I started to think, like, this is already mixing in a lot of different ingredients to make this unique beverage. Like, what else could I add to this that could benefit my lifestyle, where if I'm drinking something every single morning, it's kind of this like habit stacking mentality. Like, what can I add to that ritual, that habit that could benefit me? So I started doing some research on different mushrooms specifically. My mom happens to be, she was a computer science major and went on to work in the IT department at the biggest mushroom company in the world. So I was very familiar with mushrooms, or not in the world, in the United States. And I was very familiar with mushrooms. And I started to hear about these functional mushrooms that seem to have specific benefits. And some of those benefits seemed to relate perfectly with my life. And so the first one that I added was lion's mane for focus. Lion's mane is currently being studied for its promise with cognitive function. There's some nerve growth factors that they're looking into. A lot of this stuff around mushrooms is very new, at least in the Western sense, but they have been used for hundreds, thousands of years abroad. But there's tons of promise with lion's mane specifically in regards to enhancing cognitive function.
And when you say cognitive function, like what does that actually mean? I mean, we know with caffeine, it helps with your focus, but there's also memory, there's recalling memory and those aspects.
Yeah, well, it's specifically memory, focus. Memory and focus are the two specifics, but I mean, they're doing studies with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's patients and seeing if there's neurogenerative properties, things like that. And then the next ingredient I added was cordyceps. So moving back to LA, I was working out all the time, training jiu-jitsu, and I didn't want to drink the typical pre-workout drink, which is packed full of caffeine. And I heard about cordyceps, which is a mushroom that I think was originally discovered and consumed by Tibetan herdsmen, like high altitudes. And it's known for its properties around increasing blood oxygenation. So like when you're breathing in, it will allow that blood to get spread through your body, your bloodstream, or breathing in oxygen, allow the oxygen to get spread through your blood more, increasing endurance, vitality, these types of things. So there's tons of actually published research papers on cordyceps, and it's being used by endurance athletes and had been used by like Olympic athletes overseas, like in China and whatnot for years, but is now being brought over into Western culture for the physical performance aspects of it. And then I added reishi and chaga. Both of these mushrooms similarly have been drinking for hundreds, if not thousands of years, depending on where you're looking. And they're showing tons of promise in regards to immune response. So immune support. Both have tons of antioxidants. They have cytokine reducing inflammatory effects. There's tons of claims out there. You know, it's very new research, but things that will probably come out in the next 5 years more and more. And so both of those were simply added just to help with immunity. Once again, this wasn't a company. Like, I was just looking to find things that could help my lifestyle. Right.
And how did you add them, actually? Because I'm curious, like, when I look at, and this might be a bit technical, but when I read the fine print, I see that in mud water, there's about 2 grams of those 4 mushrooms in one serving. And yep. What should we imagine here? Are you creating an extract of those mushrooms using like water and ethanol, or do you dry and then pulverize those mushrooms? How do you arrive at those ingredients in the end?
For sure. Yeah. So these are powdered ingredients. Our product is a powder. These ingredients can also be consumed in an extract form. So there's various suppliers of mushrooms. You can get mushrooms that are supplied and they're sourced mycelium. You can get the fruiting body, which is the mushroom that you see like above ground, the mushroom emoji.
Yeah, mycelium is more like the roots of the mushroom, right?
And mycelium is like the roots of the mushroom, yeah. And then you can get like the biomass, it's called, which is a combination of both. And our supplier is based in Carlsbad, California, called M2 Ingredients. And they make an amazing product that uses the combination of both mycelium and fruiting body. There's, once again, also more and more research coming out on the types of mushroom that is used and consumed. And it kind of varies based on the actual mushroom as well. But they're like the leading researcher, arguably Paul Stamets, really stands behind the power and efficacy of mycelium. And of course, there's tons of research on the fruiting body. So we went the path of the sum is greater than the parts in that regard. And the process there, it's an indoor growing operation. So a couple of things are important when sourcing mushrooms too. Mushrooms are bioaccumulators. So they essentially breathe oxygen. So they will accumulate from their surroundings. So if they're grown in a polluted area, you'll essentially be also consuming some of that. So a lot of mushrooms they found where like 80% of mushrooms are grown in China can have very high levels of some toxic heavy metals. Huh. And so we went with M2 because both they use the fruiting body and mycelium, but they're also indoor grown. So clean environment, sustainably grown.
And all organic, no pesticides.
All organic. They have every certification you could get. And they essentially give you the product in the way that you consume it if you found it in the wild, essentially. So it's not an extract. It's powdered form, slow dried and milled into a powder.
Gotcha. And how did you arrive at that particular doses of around 500 milligrams each?
Yeah. So there's around 2.25 grams total of the mushroom blend, and it's split evenly across them all. Just meeting with the supplier, talking with them about efficacious dose. If you look at competitors in the space, there's like we have the most mushrooms in any product that is in our space of like an elixir or a coffee that includes mushrooms. Like I was essentially looking for efficacy, and based on what I saw, you want at least 0.5 gram, and that's what I was consuming. And and so that's what I decided, and talked with Sandra and Steve at M2. And when you combine them all and you're drinking them on a regular basis, it has a good effect.
Got it. And was there like any reason for not including some other mushrooms like shiitake or maitake, for example?
There wasn't a reason why not including these mushrooms specifically. Had a function that I was interested in. Like turkey tail is an amazing mushroom as well for immunity. So we are developing further products. One specifically that will be like an evening ritual, so a nighttime blend that is going to incorporate some of those other mushrooms. So with the morning and evening combination, you'll get like the full stack. But you know, when you're thinking about like flavor profiles and consistency, like where mushrooms aren't inherently the most soluble, all of these things played a little bit of a factor, of course.
Got it. And of course, mushrooms are not, and chai are not the only ingredients of mud water. What else can be found in it?
Yeah. So then I added turmeric, which has shown to support inflammation. So reduce inflammation. I was, like I said, I'm always sore training, and that sounded like a thing that would benefit me greatly. With turmeric, also added some black pepper, which helps as a transporter of the curcumin. And we added cinnamon to help with intermittent fasting. So I do around a 16-hour fast every day, and notice that around sometimes like around between 10 and noon, I'll get really hungry, and it'll make it tough. And that's partially due to like an insulin drop or spike from previous. And so adding cinnamon helps with maintaining glucose levels. And then I added just a sprinkle of sea salt to help with, it just makes the flavors pop. It has some minerals, of course, but really I think it was around flavors, some absorption properties.
Because it also helps with hydration, right?
There's not quite enough for hydration, but yeah, those were all the factors in. I was drinking at the time. I was waking up every morning and drinking like a big cup of water with some Himalayan sea salt in it. And so this was just like stacking that into the ritual as well.
This episode of 20 Minute Fitness is brought to you by Forager Project, the 100% organic plant-based food company. Forager Project is a family-owned business based in California that has been on a mission since 2013 to make the world a better place than they found it. Forager crafts dairy-free yogurts, kefirs, milks, and sour cream using their hero ingredient, organic cashews, for the creamiest base for all of its products. Their cashew milk yogurts are not just an excellent healthy breakfast option, but also the most delicious vegan yogurt I've ever tried. The vanilla and cherry flavors that I've tried a couple of months ago are still my go-to breakfast choices and make the perfect dairy substitute. So if you follow a plant-based diet, plan to transition now, or simply aim to cut a bit back on dairy like me, I can only recommend the Forager products. And to make their products even more appetizing, Forager is offering a limited offer coupon only for our podcast listeners for a free cup of yogurt at www.foragerproject.com/cultivatehealth. And while you're there, make sure to check out the hundreds of delicious and easy to make dairy-free recipes. That's www.foragerproject.com/cultivatehealth for a free cup of yogurt. Cultivate Health with Forager Project. Always organic, always plant-based. And I have to ask, I mean, I get the story and why you arrived at Masala Chai, but have you thought about including like a different type of tea, like Sencha or another type of green tea?
So yeah, we have a product roadmap. We have formulas for matcha, for Tulsi tea, for mate tea with like similar complementary blends. As far as when that will launch, it's sort of TBD. We're really focused on this sort of combination that we currently have today and creating a complementary combination that serves like an evening ritual, so a different part of the day. And then from there, we'll sort of expand horizontally across different flavor palettes.
Got it. But right now, mud water is basically built for replacing your daily cup of coffee in the morning, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I made it for myself to replace coffee and found that it gave me energy and focus and immune support and all these things that I spoke to, but it didn't have the jitters, the crash, the come down. I was sleeping amazing.
Yeah, because you still have some caffeine in there, but it's really just a seventh of what you would find in a cup of coffee.
Yeah. It's kind of like a micro dose of caffeine, right? Like some people talk about things like efficacious dose.
And because caffeine and in a lower dose is not per se wrong. I mean, there are definitely numerous health benefits around caffeine as well. It's just really where it gets tricky when you go over 400 milligrams a day, right?
Yeah, I think dose is really a factor for a lot of things. And caffeine is a drug. And most drugs, you know, you have like dosages. Caffeine doesn't necessarily have like a daily recommended dose, and we're not prescribed it. And it's got this weird combination of being both a drug and supplement, but also a food product. So it's a little funky there. It's totally the low dose of caffeine. So you do get, the caffeine has some benefits, but you're not getting that jittery, like dopamine dependent feeling in your body. And we also are creating a caffeine free version of the same product that is using a chai rooibos. So a masala rooibos blend, and that'll have no caffeine, very similar taste palette.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, just to explain, I guess like the main problem really with caffeine is I mean, it does have pretty long half-life and it stays for a long time in your body. And what it really effectively does, it's blocking your adenosine receptors, which really make you more tired and eventually sleepy. And if they're blocked, well, then you can't really fall asleep. And then, like you mentioned in your own story, you end up in a vicious cycle often where you sleep less and then you need more coffee and then you end up blocking more adenosine. And before you know it, you really drain yourself of all energy, even though you may feel temporarily boosted by the caffeine, but it's really really tricking your body into something that's not really there.
Yeah. And even we're actually working with a doctor right now and about to launch a coffee detox program that she helps create with us. And she was talking about how even after like weeks of regular coffee use, that feeling that you like need a cup of coffee in the morning becomes less and less about the actual uplift, the actual lift of energy. and more about just reducing the withdrawal effects that occur overnight as like that half-life slowly fades that caffeine content out of your bloodstream. So what's interesting about at least what I was thinking, what I discovered with caffeine in my own consumption was I started to lose touch with why I was drinking it in the first place. I started to notice that I just loved like the routine, the ritual of it. I loved sipping something as sort of like a indicator symbol of starting my day. But I became less and less aware of the actual effects or like the actual benefits of it. So that's another interesting factor there. But then based on, you know, we each have a unique variant of our CYP1A2 gene, which dictates your metabolism for caffeine. So fast metabolizers, you know, they get it out of their system in shorter or maybe like normal cadences, and then slow metabolizers, it'll stay in their system much longer and it can put you at risk for even like more cardiovascular health risks and also cause more anxiety, of course, and all of those like jitters and anxiety sleep effects.
Got it. And I'm just curious. So for our listeners who've never tried mud water, I guess A, describe the flavor, and B, if you can describe how one should feel, right? I mean, everybody knows how they feel after they had a bunch of caffeine, right? You feel more alert, more focused, and less tired. How would I feel if I you know, consume a cup of mud water?
Yeah. So the taste, it's been described as earthy. There's no sweeteners to it, but we like to say it's like chai and cacao had a really healthy baby. So it's not like a hot chocolate. It's not quite like a Mexican hot chocolate, but it has similar notes to it because of the cacao, because of some of the spices, the cinnamon. And the majority of customers, similar to the majority of coffee drinkers, will drink it with something, right? Like I think around 60% of our customers, maybe a little more, drink it with like plant-based milk, some sort of sweetener, maybe some honey, and kind of make it their own. There's lattes. We have a whole list of recipes that we're adding to every week. And then the feeling, there's a variety of testimonials we've got from customers. Some first cup, they're like, this is like nature's Adderall is what we've gotten. Where they're like, my focus is through the roof. I don't feel jittery, and that's what makes me feel more focused, but I do feel energy, but not in like the eyes peeled off my face kind of a way. So it's a much more manageable energy, which for me is actually conducive to productivity. Like activating the sympathetic state is like, that'll make you wake up. Like if you see a lion running at you, like you're going to wake up and move. But if you're looking for productivity and creativity, it's like good to have a nice balance. You don't want to be falling asleep, but like you want to be alert, but also creative and calm. Right. So that's kind of the space that we're trying to conduce.
And caffeine works relatively fast, right? It's like within 20 minutes in your bloodstream, and you probably have the full effect within an hour, depending on how fast you metabolize caffeine. How is it with mud water? Like, do I metabolize it really quickly, or is it like more stretched throughout the day?
Yeah, the caffeine probably metabolizes in a similar level. Some of the research around mushrooms like reishi talk about its ability to bring you back into like a homeostasis. So when you are overstressed, it kind of just balances out. And that's like the term adaptogen. It kind of adapts to the environment. So yeah, you're not going to feel that like huge spike, but then you're not going to have that crash on the other end as well. So it's just much more even keeled, but you could feel it within 5 minutes. Some people like to, they say that it built up. So over like a week's of use, drinking it regularly, they describe it as like their body kind of became accustomed to it, and it just became more and more their routine. I would say that like if you're switching from coffee to it the first couple of days, like because you're not consuming as much caffeine, the energy component might not feel that energy because you need to build back your body's innate ability to create its own energy at first. So that could take, depending on the dependency, days, weeks. And that's why we're creating this coffee detox program.
Right. And actually, yeah, that reminds me, I've heard from some friends, you know, who've also been using mushrooms, that it's not something that you would feel on day one after you've tried, you know, a variety of different mushrooms like lion's mane, but it takes them actually some time to build it up in their system, and it may take several days. I don't know if you know if there's like some truth to that or whether it's just bogus.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've heard too. We're signing on a couple of mycologists to our advisory board as well, and we've had similar discussions. And like mushrooms are so diverse, right? Like a mushroom like lion's mane, it could have a much faster response where you feel that cognitive lift. But something like reishi or chaga, from what I've seen, it's people traditionally are drinking chaga, like drinking it every evening. It's like a long-term usage type thing. So Yeah, it varies by mushroom.
Got it. Now, even beyond mud water, what would be like some advice that you could give to our listeners on how one could improve their energy levels and productivity, maybe without having to drink or consume anything even?
Yeah, I think the first is sleep. I mean, for me, I didn't used to prioritize sleep so much, like this hustle culture, sleep when you're dead. Like I almost felt guilty when I was sleeping well, like I wasn't working hard enough. And I think that's just really counterintuitive. So I have tons of sleep rituals and helps. And so like I bought a weighted gravity blanket. I track my sleep using an Oura ring. I try not to eat at least 2 hours before bed, keep my room very, very cold. And I try to sleep around the same time every night. And I find that the more cues that I can build into that evening nighttime ritual, the easier it is to fall asleep and the deeper sleep I get. And you could equate it similar to like a dog hearing the food bowl and like, you know, mouth salivating, like in a similar way, like you start to train your mind, these cues lead to X. So that's super important to me. And I think it seems very obvious, like we spend so much of our life sleeping, like we're programmed and nature doesn't make mistakes like that. So there's got to be some value there, but it needs to be stated. And then some other things, the way you wake up too, I think is very important. So I begin my day every day with a meditation. Starting New Year's, I've been doing 1 hour meditations every morning, which was something inspired by Naval Ravikant, who's the founder of Angelist. And he talked about having, you know, he's had a meditation practice for decades, but he does this 1 hour meditation now where he doesn't even call it a meditation. He just literally sits for an hour, and maybe he does some mantras. Maybe he tries to quiet his mind. Maybe he does breath work. Maybe he literally does nothing. But I think what he speaks to is just like becoming comfortable with just being and being in the present, and then not building any like repeated thing where I have to do my mantras or I have to do my meditation, where it becomes another form of doing and just trying to literally do nothing. And he finds that it helps with like becoming more aware of our addictions to like dopamine, essentially, like grabbing our phones or watching the news or like skipping through different tasks, different projects so quickly, and being more present and grounded in one particular thing. So
yeah, I think a lot of us have that bad habit of like when they wake up, they immediately have to get to their phone, check their emails, check their notifications, the news cycle. And that can evoke a whole number of different emotions, and it may stress you out, right?
Totally. Yeah, and I would say diet, of course, is important. I particularly find that I'm a lot more focused and energized when I'm fasting, specifically like around 14 to 16 hours. I also do a 24-hour fast every Wednesday, which for me also helps me build a relationship to my cravings around food. And I typically do a fast from both food and my phone on Wednesdays, just to like give myself awareness of those things. And yeah, I'd say exercise. So, I mean, these are things that everybody talks about, but why exercise is important to me. Obviously, when you exercise, you feel great. Dopamine, endorphins, all of that. But for me, like, it's all about challenging myself and inducing a stressful environment by choice so that I'm better able to handle stress when it comes at me unexpected. So I train jiu-jitsu partially for that reason. I like to do CrossFit workouts because it just puts me on that edge of like, I want to quit, and then I don't. So yeah, I think that leaves me better prepared to create.
Yeah, that's definitely a lot of helpful advice. I mean, incredible to meditate for 1 hour. It's only a thing that I can dream of right now. My New Year's resolution was actually just about getting to 5 to 10 minutes. And admittedly, I'm starting from zero, but it is something that I'm also actively working on myself. Yeah, but now for going back to mud water, where do you really see the future? What is like the big vision for your company?
Yeah, so of course we sell a product, but at our core, what motivated me to start the company was by drinking something that, I guess, by straying away from the cultural prescriptions of coffee, like it really empowered me to stand up for who I was, like figure out my own person in all aspects of my life. And ultimately for our company, that's what we want to inspire people to do. And we look to do that not only through the products we create, but the content that we create around them. So we are going to create more morning ritual, evening ritual products and things that complement those, both in taste and function. But we're also creating content to complement your morning and evening ritual as well. So we do have a breathwork meditation video out there. We're about to create like sound healing. We're going to create fitness, yoga, things that members, our subscriber base can tap into and essentially habit stack their morning and evening. And years down the road, we plan to take our experience that we're creating online into the real environment and opening up spaces that will have, you know, cafes, but also some of these modalities available, potentially like hot and cold therapy, things like that. So that's where we're headed.
Got it. Just finally, any resource that you would recommend our listeners if they want to dive deeper into the topic of, well, staying focused, but also staying calm and rested and feeling less anxiety in your day to day? Maybe there are like some books or, you know, other podcasts or the like that you could recommend.
Yeah. I really like Peter Thiel's podcast. Tim Ferriss obviously has a lot of guests in this space. His podcast with Matthew Walker is really great on sleep. We have our own content arm called Trends with Benefits, where we both create, self-publish our own content, but we also post content from all around the web, like from Tim Ferriss, Peter Attia, Matthew Walker. And we really view that as a great resource to start from. And that is at mudwater.com, and just navigate to Trends with Benefits. It's essentially our blog resource.
Awesome. And then that's also where, of course, our listeners can learn more about Mudwater itself and also give it a shot if they want to try it.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Shane. I really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.
Shane Heath, founder of Mudwater. Caffeine remains one of the most widely studied stimulants. And no wonder, with 90% of all American adults consuming around 200 milligrams or about 2 cups of coffee every day on average, we'd better understand what caffeine does to our bodies. Fortunately, the benefits of caffeine outweigh the side effects. And I would say that as long as you stay within the FDA's recommended guidance of about 400 milligrams a day. Personally, I've cut back on my own daily caffeine intake to about just about one espresso right after I wake up. And that's about 50 to 70 milligrams of caffeine. And with a half-life of 5 hours, that means that by bedtime, I still have about 6 to 9 milligrams left in my body, which is low enough for me to fall asleep soundly though. Every now and then, I still have some green tea or my water at lunch if I really need that mental boost for my afternoon. Competition days, on the other hand, and I like to run, a whole nother matter because caffeine helps glucose stored in muscles last longer, and research has shown that consuming 2.3 milligrams of caffeine per pound of body weight can actually enhance your endurance performance by 5%. In any case, caffeine is just one nootropic. As you've heard today, there are plenty of others that can help you boost your cognitive performance and alertness. My personal favorites are lion's mane, cordyceps, althea 9, ashwagandha, and bacopa monnieri. Anyways, if you want to learn more about caffeine and other stimulants, there's more on our show notes on 20minute.fitness. Thank you for joining us this week on 20 Minute Fitness. I'm Martin Kessler, and our show is mixed by Lila Lasso and produced by Shape in San Francisco. Take care.